Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. While the fine and performing arts are slowly resuming a pre-pandemic schedule of events here in Tulsa, audiences are only gingerly making their way back to performances. Nearly all of the performing arts groups in our city are reporting smaller audiences and hesitancy from their patrons, despite mask mandates and vaccination and/or negative test confirmations for attendees. My guest today says, with those precautions in place, Tulsans should return to the arts, as the organizations need us as patrons, and as importantly, we need them for communal and moving experiences that bring people together. My guest today is Keith Elder, the executive director of the Tulsa Symphony. The symphony did what few American orchestras were able to do last year during the pandemic, find a way to perform safely through a series of outdoor and radio-only performances. This year, though, the orchestra is once again at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center welcoming audiences. Keith Elder came to Tulsa from the Aspen Music Festival and School and has served in positions at the Detroit Symphony, the Boston Symphony and Boston Pops, and the Eastman School of Music. The symphony returns to the Performing Arts Center next Saturday evening in a program called Symphonic Poetry. And Keith Elder joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Keith Elder, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, Rich. It's great being here, and it's actually great being here in the studio. You know, we've done so many of these conversations over the past 20 months on telephone.
Yeah, right.
And to be sitting here in the studio with you is so wonderful, so it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I know you were very anxious to start the season, as you did last month with the first concert of the year, and the first concert in the Chapman Music Hall with an audience, a real audience. You had a few patrons last season for the radio broadcast, but it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. You know, last year was a year of sort of being flexible, being outdoors, doing sort of taping for radio and such as that. But this year, we're back. The orchestra opened and a few weeks ago with Garrick Olson and Bramwell Tovey in an audience that was fully vaccinated and in the PAC, which is our home and our home to hear for the audience to hear great classical music and for our musicians to be able to play their hearts out for this community. And so it was great being back. With it comes some challenges, and I think that's something that we've had to put in place a entrance policy that we ask for people to either be vaccinated or to be tested, and that's important for our audience, for our orchestra, for the staff of the PAC to safely come back to what we would say come back to a normal normalcy, which is important. You know, we all hear wonderful music on the radio, on recordings, but hearing it live in person in the Performing Arts Center is such a wonderful thing. And so we've put things in place to make sure that that audience at the PAC, I joke and say, that's one of the safest places to be in Tulsa on a 7:30 on a Saturday night. You know, if you come out on November 13th, that's going to be one of the safest places for you to be because you know the person sitting next to you has been vaccinated.
Everybody, every arts organization, every event, really, that is contemplating groups of people coming indoors has had to figure out what they're going to do. Can you take me through the decision-making process for how the symphony came up with their particular guidelines?
Sure, absolutely. So safe and responsible. We've been sort of going down that road since March 20th of last year is looking at how can we be safe and responsible. Our musicians were vaccinated. I would say almost 100%. I think there are three or four due to medical that are not vaccinated. We're all masked at the PAC. The PAC has a policy of all the patrons being masked. But working with a team of doctors, we looked at what is in the best interest of our audience from a safety standpoint. And that's the metric we looked through, and that's the glass we looked through. We looked at, from a science background, what is the best way to do it. And that's where we came up with this entrance policy so that people could feel comfortable that, you know, as as we say, we're moving through this pandemic. People are vaccinated. People are now boosted. We're at a point where we need to come back together as a society, hear great music, come together. And how can we do that safely? The other piece of this that was important is that, you know, the PAC has done a lot of work on their HVAC system, mm-hmm. which, you know, Mark Fry over there at the PAC is also doing things safe and responsibly and making sure that all the events at the PAC have that benefit. But we went that one step further with our policy. I will say that our patrons have been wonderful. People were worried, will there be lines? Will there be this? Will there be that? It was very easy and smooth. The PAC has put together an app to called Bindle, which you can put your information in and just show your phone, and a green check mark comes up saying it's all good. We started this entrance policy at our Flyloft concerts, which are these concerts that we have over at our offices. Everything went smoothly. So for us moving forward, it's what can we do to safely and responsibly come back to live concerts? You know, we were really excited yesterday when they came in with the authorization for, you know, children under 11 to be able to vaccinate because we have our
Polar Express concert.
We have Polar Express coming up. Uh-huh. And so for children to be vaccinated to be able to come to that will be great. We did have children in the audience for the Garrick Olson concert. It was so wonderful to be able to sit and watch these two young, you could tell they were pianist students, watching Garrick play that Emperor Concerto. But they were tested before being let into the building.
Are you hearing from patrons that that they are needing reassurance that it is safe to come out to a concert? Because it's one thing to be outdoors listening to music. It's another thing to be next to a person and that cough over your shoulder gives somebody, you know, a sense of pause.
Well, I think what's interesting, Rich, is that, you know, we see restaurants are filled.
Yes,
we see grocery stores are filled. We're seeing sporting events coming back together. You know, when I came into the studio today, I said I was, you know, I've been vaccinated and boosted, but I told you that as I came in,
mm-hmm.
you didn't know that. So we go to all these events and all these aspects where we feel safe, but we're not sure everybody in the restaurant is vaccinated. We're not sure that at our concerts, we can tell you everybody within that space is vaccinated or tested. And for us, we are over 90% vaccinated. So it's not that you've got many tests. So it reassures this audience. Was our audience what it would normally be? It's a little lower. Yeah. We were just over 1,000 people come to our concerts, where we would be in the 1,500 to 1,800 range. But I think it's time for people to realize this is not going to be a light switch. COVID's going to be here. Unfortunately, it's going to be here, and we're going to have to navigate how we're going to live safely and move forward with that. And I think what's great is that we are looking at doing things safely and responsibly. And being in that audience and, you know, for the Garrick Olson, when Bramwell is here, and that energy, we're back. I mean, we've missed so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, you're a musician. You know what it's like to be around live music.
And you know what it's like to be in an empty hall, too.
In an empty hall, exactly. But, you know, for our orchestra on that stage to see an audience on its feet that really loved what they were given by our musicians, that's one thing, and that's amazing for the musicians on stage. But that energy in the audience, you know, at the end of a piece where you can feel the tension in the room and then the applause, and then, you know, Garrick played the encore, and, you know, these are things that don't happen unless you're at a live concert. You know, there was another example of our Flyloft this year where we had to change the program the morning of the program because something happened where so then all of a sudden the audience came to hear a Beethoven quartet and they heard a Schumann piano trio. But that's live music. Those are things that that are so exciting about what we're doing, and the musicians being able to play on the edge of their seat and build that energy and excitement. And that's why live music is so important, whether it's live music with the orchestra or you're hearing it with the opera or the ballet, coming out to the arts and supporting. It's time for us all to come back.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that the first concert had sort of reduced attendance compared to what you would normally see, especially for that season mm-hmm. opening concert. Mm-hmm. I've heard that from a number of arts groups that sometimes they're surprised that there are more people than they estimated, but it's still down from pre-pandemic. What's the process of getting that audience to come back?
Well, and that's exactly, you're right, Rich. I mean, numbers are down a bit. You know, people are talking about when they'll feel comfortable again. And we need, as a society, to come back to that comfort level of we are doing things safely and responsibly. And it is important for us to come together as a society and as a community at events. We got so used to being able to do everything from our couch or our computer at home.
It's true.
And it's time for us to all come back together again. You know, you see sporting events now are all in the buzz there. It's now time for the arts, for us to all come back and safely come back together. And that's why working with our advisors on this sort of entrance policy, you know, we're doing that so that people can feel comfortable to come back together again. And that's what's so important. And that's what makes Tulsa, Tulsa. We're an arts community. We're a community with orchestras, operas, ballets, and it's time for us to all come back again and support and feel that energy in a room.
Well, let's talk about that energy in the room. If you miss the concert, you can hear it this weekend on our sister station, Classical 88.7, on Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 4. But for those that were there, what was the feeling of the concert? Did you hear a difference in the orchestra?
So, yes, there was an absolute difference in the orchestra. The orchestra is playing beautifully right now. We've got, you know, they're really hungry for playing for this community. This community is so fortunate to have the musicians that we have, and so fortunate that these musicians play with, really put their heart out on that stage. You know, we were very lucky to have Garrick Olson, an international pianist, who has been here. I asked him after the concert if this was his first stop in Tulsa, and he sort of laughed and said, "Oh no, I've been here multiple times since 1973." So he played with the Philharmonic, and he's been here with the OK Mozart. And he had a wonderful time playing with this orchestra. And then Bramwell Tovey, who is a conductor that typically would not be coming to Tulsa. He's a
conductor.
Now,
let's talk about how that happened, because I know you had a conductor that pulled out.
Yes. So we had a conductor that had pulled out, and so we reached out to Bramwell. Bramwell is a conductor that conducts the New York Philharmonic. He conducts, you know, Chicago, Boston. He conducts on the sort of international level. And his agent reached out to him and he said, "Tulsa?" And he wasn't sure if he wanted to come here because he'd never been to Tulsa. But the advantage of having what we did last year was Fema Bronfman was mm-hmm. here as a soloist. And Bramwell and Fema were working together with the New York Philharmonic. And Fema said, "Bramwell, you have to go to Tulsa." And so that worked. The funny backstory of all of that is that Bramwell was Lena, who had to cancel, teacher. And so typically the student covers for the teacher.
Right.
But we were so lucky to be able to have Bramwell have the teacher cover for the student. And he worked the orchestra beautifully. He had a great time here. I will say, Rich, he was very impressed with your interviewing skills. You know, he was very impressed with the culture and the arts here. Very surprised at that. And, you know, that's what happens. That's how the arts can be such ambassadors for this city. I know that the ballet and the opera does the same thing. We bring artists here who then leave and talk about Tulsa internationally and talk about all the amazing things we do here. And, you know, for him to also come out on that stage and have such an enthusiastic audience on the first time back into the PAC, you know, that energy in that room, you know, music is so important at uniting a community. And even though the numbers were a little down, they were bigger than other markets. I will just say that. You know, there are other markets that are only getting 200 people coming to concerts. So, you know, we're doing better than other markets. But I will say that this community, you know, the arts need you now. The arts need you to come out and support. Come to the ballet, come to the opera, come to the symphony, come to the chamber music. Because as a society, we need the arts. You know, that is one thing that's been missing for a year and a half in the sense of, you know, we've had, through this pandemic, we've all tried to be flexible and struggle at ways of doing things. It's wonderful the orchestra played out at the ballpark.
Yeah.
But hearing the delicate touch of a piano in the PAC is so different than hearing the delicate touch of a piano as the trucks are driving by on the highway. Or the train is blowing its horn as it's going, you know. You know, we're going to be – we've got some exciting news in November announcing, you know, so I sense we're going to be back at the ballpark mm-hmm. at some point. But with the right projects, the ballpark's fabulous. But with – the heart of what we do, which is playing music for community and playing music from our heart that touches the community. There's so much studies on mental health and music and how music really touches a person. You know, that's why the PAC is so important to this community.
My guest today is Keith Elder, Executive Director of the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. The Tulsa Symphony returns to the Tulsa PAC next weekend with a concert featuring Sarah Hicks, conductor. And why don't you give us a preview of the concert a little bit?
Sure. I mean, this concert brings Sarah Hicks back. For those that remember last year, Sarah is...
Sarah's made her debut, but only in one piece.
Exactly. I joked with her because, you know, whenever you play at a ballpark, you always have to worry about a rainout. And we got our rainout in October with Sarah on the podium. But Sarah comes to us from Minnesota. She works with the Minnesota Orchestra. And it's going to be doing an interesting program. The first program is very French, you know, doing a piece by Boulanger that most people know, you know, Lily's sister,
mm-hmm.
Nadia, who was the great teacher of composition. But it was Lily who won the big composition prizes, but unfortunately passed away at a very young age. So we don't know much about her playing, her compositions. And so we're opening a program with one of her pieces, and then we're moving into a great piece by William Grant Still, and then finishing the first half with a piece by Poulenc. So we have a little bit of the French, Parisian, pre-World War I composers, and William Grant Still, who's an American composer here, doing a piece called The Darker America, which is a great work. And then, Rich, the second half is Petrushka. This is a piece, it's Stravinsky, about the puppet, you know, Petrushka. It has so much energy and excitement.
Yeah, energy and life. Yeah.
In life, in this sort of mischievous puppet and that goes around and there's, you know, I'm a tuba player, there's a big solo, the bear, is portrayed by the tuba. The English horn is portrayed, or the puppet portrayed by the English horn. There's a great trumpet ballerina.
Yes.
Solo.
Very famous trumpet solo.
Very famous. So on November 13th, you'll be able to hear a lot of the principals of the orchestra playing all the solos within Petrushka and seeing Sarah do her real concert debut here in Tulsa, because crossing my fingers, but I can guarantee we won't have a a rain out at the PAC.
now, Sarah Hicks does a special series with the Minnesota Orchestra, and I hear it gets raves for her ability to connect with an audience, and it's sort of a special series outside of their normal subscription series. What does she bring to the podium?
It is. I mean, Sarah is such a charismatic person. She speaks from the stage. She's a very charismatic and being able to tie music together. On the podium, she's a great conductor. She also has the skills of conducting with movies. And so she does a lot of that. She's done her Hollywood Bowl debut doing movies there. So having her here and on this series and doing a work like Petrushka is something that's very special. We're very lucky to be able to have her come back here. Last year, as we were being flexible with everything and moving everything around, conductors were pretty available. I mean, everybody was staying home. I had a Rolodex that pretty much anybody in the Rolodex was willing to come here. We're now all back to work. Right. And that's a wonderful thing, is the fact that these musicians around the world are back to work and playing their hearts out for communities. And now it's time for the communities to come back to the concert hall.
All right. Well, anything you want to add about what's going on this week?
I think that the big thing to add is to come out, hear Petrushka, hear the puppets, look at our holiday tradition of Polar Express. If anybody has ever seen the movie Polar Express, it is a spectacular movie that we're going to be doing at the beginning of December with full orchestra, and you'll be able to watch the movie and be able to celebrate it with your children, with your grandchildren, and celebrate the start of the holiday season. And so I hope to see everybody at our concerts coming up. And please do come out and support your local arts organizations. This is a time that we need you, and we need you to come out and unite as a community.
A lot of the arts organizations are in the same boat as the Tulsa Symphony. You had groups like Chamber Music Tulsa who are offering free Sunday concerts. Yeah. And you get maybe a quarter of the hall, maybe half the hall for a free concert.
And this is a time that, we don't realize what we're getting. A free concert from Chamber Music Tulsa of amazing artists. I mean, these are nationally known touring artists coming here that, take advantage of that. Let's get out of our pajamas, take our slippers off, get back to the way it was pre-pandemic and come out and smile and be part of our community. I think the hardest thing that we have is we've been in our homes with meetings and Zoom and gotten comfortable. It's now time for all of us to come back out and come together as a community.
And in the case of at the PAC and with the symphony, that virtually everyone's vaccinated or they have a fresh COVID test.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a
breakdown on how many were vaccinated versus had a test?
I will say that over 95% were vaccinated.
Okay.
The tests were mainly children because they were not allowed to be vaccinated at the point, but we're now at a point where children are getting vaccinated. And so, this is the way of us moving forward as a society of coming back together. We need to all get back out, and get back out and go to hear lectures and go and see the arts, and support the humanities and arts, just like that what's happening right now with, you watched the World Series last night and the number of people that were in Atlanta and that were in Houston that was out the other night. And so we need to do that with the arts. This is so important for us all to come back together. We as humans need that connecting point for our mental health and our mental well-being.
And the institutions need it to survive.
And the institutions need it to survive. Exactly.
Keith, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
As always, thank you so much.
Keith Elder is the executive director of the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. The symphony returns to the Tulsa Performing Arts Center a week from this Saturday, November 13th at 7:30, when they present a program titled Symphonic Poetry with guest conductor Sarah Hicks. By the way, if you missed the first concert, you can hear it on our sister station, Classical 88.7, tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 4. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
This past summer, back before COVID's fourth act and anyone had heard of the miracle power of the sheep dewormer, I took my father up to New York to see his grandson, my nephew, get married. My father is 94 now. He can't hear, doesn't listen, has no short-term memory, and not to put too fine a point on this, doesn't much care what's being said. It's the perfect storm of patriarchal dysfunction if you're scoring at home, which is the best place to score such things. There was too much traveling. The wedding was actually in Jersey. Too many different beds and too many people. And as the days went on, my father got more confused, more agitated, more hard of hearing. It was exhausting, not in a wouldn't this make a great movie someday exhausting, but in a I'm going to shoot heroin through my toes if he asks one more time who owned my sister's house before she did. But somewhere along the way, my family stopped being a punchline. There was the moment when Jesse, he was getting married and didn't know his grandfather was coming to the wedding, we thought we'd surprise him, saw his grandfather sitting in a hotel room in a new pair of drawstring pants, but nice ones, and a new shirt and tie for the wedding. And Jesse cried a little. There was the morning that Noah, another grandson, helped his grandfather into the shower. There was the evening that Chris, still another grandson, held his grandfather's hand and walked him into a diner. There was the plate of snacks that Susan, the daughter to whom my father refers to as Cynthia, or that woman from Long Island, because he doesn't always remember her name, always had waiting for him. There was that patience that Emily, his granddaughter, had in begging him for the 114th time to please stop asking who, in fact, owned the house before Susan did. There was that time when Alyssa, Jesse's new wife, called him Grandpa, even though she had just met him. When my father lived in Las Vegas, and when Cynthia, Susan, that woman from Long Island, whoever, used to visit him, she told me she always felt it would be the last time she saw him. My father was already in his 80s, so her fear was actuarial. She kept coming back, though, and he was always there. And he still is. On one of the last days in New York, with the wedding over, we drove him to his old neighborhood in Brooklyn. I was hoping something would trigger inside him, some memory of a cousin, a delicatessen, a street corner. I wanted him to remember that he was. He remembered his phone number. GE69328. That's 212 area code, he reminded us. His family had that phone number in 1940. The day my father and I returned to Tulsa, Susan packed up all the clothes she had purchased for him through the years and had kept in New York just for trips like this. She's like that, my sister. So I could take them back with me because we both knew our father was done traveling. Nonagenarians do not need to waste any of the time they have left waiting at a gate for delayed flight. And yet, his grandchildren love him. The remaining ones may get married. And they may want him at the wedding. And of course we'll go. It's family. And he's got nice pants. The woman from Long Island made sure of that.
Barry Friedman is a writer, essayist, and comedian, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.